Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Bingeworthy, the podcast dedicated to telling you which of the streaming series that are being thrown at you each week and month are worth your time and attention. I'm your guest host for this episode, Joe Scott, and I'm here to tell you about a show I loved way more than I thought I would, the six-part Showtime limited series, George and Tammy. And I was actually very fortunate to have a chat with the series director, John Hillcoat, which you'll hear in just a minute. Following the lives of country music legends George Jones and Tammy Wynette, as played respectively by actors Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain, the series might seem at first chock full of tropes that have been exhausted by many rock and pop music biopics released in the past few years. And yet George and Tammy succeeds due to three reasons. The first is the phenomenal acting by stars Shannon and Chastain, as well as a deep bench of supporting players including Steve Zahn, Tim Blake Nelson, Eastbound and Down's Katie Mixon, and the god-level character actor Walton Goggins, among many others. The second is the story. Equal parts star-crossed lovers and love-crossed stars, George Jones and Tammy Wynette shared an admiration for each other that was as profound as it was doomed, that would last the rest of their lives, even if they were only married for 6 years. The final reason that George and Tammy works is that all 6 one-hour episodes of the series were directed by one filmmaker, our guest today, John Hillcoat, whose 2005 film The Proposition still stands out as one of the greatest westerns of the 2000s. Hillcoat would go on to direct an adaptation of the Cormac McCarthy novel The Road, which was released in 2009, followed by the Tom Hardy and Jessica Chastain Appalachian crime drama Lawless, which came out in 2012. I had the chance to speak with Hillcoat, who was gracious to talk about his work on George and Tammy. We talked about what it was like as a filmmaker to shift gears from feature films to directing an entire TV miniseries, as well as reports that he might be helming an adaptation of another Cormac McCarthy novel, which just so happens to be one of the greatest movies never made. But before we jump into my interview with John Hillcoat, I've got to tell you that Bingeworthy is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, The Discourse, The Rogue Ones, Yellowstoners, Deep Focus, The Fourth Wall, and more. We can also be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. So please follow, like, or subscribe, and throw us a rating on any of these platforms as well. We would greatly appreciate it. And don't forget to just head on over to our main website, which is theplaylist.net, for film and TV news, analysis, interviews, reviews, and more. It's a great website. Check it out. And as a reminder, all 6 episodes of George and Tammy are now streaming on Showtime Anytime and Paramount Plus with Showtime. Now to play us off for our interview, here's a clip of Michael Shannon, who, just like his co-star Jessica Chastain, performs all of his songs in the series. Here he is performing the George Jones hit, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
I went to see him just today. Oh, but I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smiling in years. He stopped loving her today.
John Hillcoat, welcome to the show. I am glad to have you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yeah, so let's jump into it. You know, George Jones and Tammy Wynette were never among the legendary country stars who went through a period of mainstream rediscovery like Johnny Cash or Dolly Parton did in our current millennium. And I guess it was really interesting that you made this show, because I just wanted to know, what made you so interested in telling these artists' stories in particular?
And good point about the others. I mean, I was very blessed growing up with a very close relationship with music in my life. You know, my parents introduced, dragged us all along to all these incredible concerts and raised on different genres. So I grew up in, you know, both America and Canada and Australia. And I listened to these voices and these iconic artists, and then I was very blessed to actually be able to work with a lot of them in time and through music videos, and that's a separate thing. So usually with music biogs, I much prefer documentaries. But what really stood out was I knew Tammy and George, of course, musically and their voices, but I didn't know the actual real story behind them. And it was really this incredible love story that I think even transcended the sort of music biog story. And I think, of course, the music was part and parcel, and their voices shaped their entire lives. And the songs were an expression of emotionally what they were going through at the time. But it was that I didn't know that story. It's, for me, it's a great love story that's timeless, really. You know, that it's that fated lovers, you know, that there's the classic tragedy of ill timing and that the kind of desperation. We all know that they were meant for each other, and we all wish that they had somehow, you know, aligned.
I made a mistake as I was watching the series. I pulled up the Wikipedia page on George Jones and then found out very tragically that these two people don't stay together forever, because you do such a great job of just making this love feel so powerful and strong and all consuming. And, you know, it almost plays out like a romantic comedy in reverse, where these two characters start out in this deep, intense, and I guess ultimately unsustainable love, only for it to fall out due to personal or professional complications. And, you know, it's your most romantic of all of your narrative projects. And I guess, are you interested in exploring this theme of romance again, maybe perhaps with a happier ending?
Yeah, although I would argue the greatest love stories tend to have an element of, I'm like country, the greatest country songs are all about the woes of great love, you know, from Romeo and Juliet all the way through, all even ancient times, you know, that's something. It's not really, for me, it's not about the outcome, really. It's more that journey that's the key. And what, you know, as I say, what was so special here was that that there really was no better match for them, and no closer relationship, no deeper love in their lives. And yet, there's also what we haven't mentioned here is the illness. You know, they both suffered illness, and their illness was something that's very taboo still, especially in this country. It's which is addiction. You know, that addiction is an illness, and actually George was more the old school alcoholic, and then cocaine because of the times of the 70s came into it. Whereas Tammy was really one of the early victims of the opioid crisis.
Yes.
So, but I say that because both music and addiction were the key kind of pillars, if you like, that shaped their lives. But underneath it all was this incredible love, as I say, and I'd be open to a happy ending if, or a bittersweet ending. I'm open to, But I do think I am with, you know, my favorite songs. I think there's, they call it Duende, and there's a sadness or melancholy that's integral to love as part of that journey that's hard to ignore.
Every time George Jones was about to fuck everything up, I would hit the pause button because I just wanted to fight and maintain the love that these two people had for each other. It was an interactive war, if you will, between the fate and just my own desire. But a lot of narrative projects that were once made as sort of low or medium budgeted films are now being adapted as limited series for cable or streaming or other platforms. And I guess as a filmmaker who has made quite a few medium budgeted films in his past, how would you characterize that recalibration or shift from making a film to making a miniseries? And was it always a thing where you wanted to direct every episode or maybe hand it off a few episodes like other filmmakers have done?
Well, it was put to me as there was the desire from both Jessica and Michael that they wanted one director for the whole thing. So
I imagine it's exhausting, though.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was very exhausting, very challenging. We had six DPs, six different DPs, four different production designers. Also, you know, the idea of bringing in cinematic language to really tell character emotional stories is you know, with TV, there's a different approach. It's all about dialogue. It's all about other things in a way that, you know, the layers of the deep layers that cinema language adds and enriches is a new phenomenon for TV people to get used to. And I think that's, hopefully that's going to also change because there is this push for these streaming shows or miniseries to emulate movies or cinema. But I think that's the struggle that's got to, that hopefully will, you know, embrace cinematic language more as we move forward.
Yeah. So George Jones, he's played, I would say, brilliantly by Michael Shannon, an actor I've loved since I first saw him in Shotgun Stories, one of his early big breakout roles. And I guess, what was it like for you on set to help and maybe even just witness this talented performer craft such a legendary, albeit highly complicated, conflicted character?
Oh, well, I've always wanted to work with Michael for ages, a phenomenal actor. What was exciting was that this showed so many aspects that we haven't seen before with Michael. Yeah. So it's always great to work with a great actor that is exploring other sides to themselves and aspects to a character that they haven't really, you know, done before. So that was a really great aspect to all of this. You know, there was, and also the chemistry between Jessica and Michael was so special, you know, that they, it really helped that they had this history together. And also to be surrounded by such amazing cast like, you know, Steve Zahn and Walt Goggins and yes, Kelly McCormack and David Wilson Barnes. And so really that intimate, I mean, the key was getting that intimacy and trying to tap into always that, or trying to get to the authentic emotion, which an actor, I mean, what's great about George and Tammy is also they're so different. You know, Tammy was actually a fan, a groupie that wanted, originally, that wanted fame more than anything, which was the opposite of George. He just wanted to be pulling gas every day, you know, and avoid, you know, avoid the spotlight. And And then seeing these two people, you know, actually arrive together and click, and then all their issues, it was just that character dynamic of getting into the weeds of such rich story and character that made it so special with Michael. And, you know, he is fearless. He is, you know, he was, of course, terrified about the voice, the singing voice, as was Jessica. You know, that was, but, you know, they really put in incredible work. Like they spent 7 months doing pre-records.
Wow.
You know, to have that amount of prep and really put in that amount of dedication, it's very special.
It was amazing that they did their own singing, and I think they both did a fantastic job with that. So, you know, you brought up Walt and Goggins, and I would say ever since Ned Beatty left us in 2021, Walton has basically become the best Southern character actor alive on the planet Earth, hands down. And I think he's made the bulk of his career playing sort of these wildly manic or off the wall characters. And what makes your movie or your project interesting is that he gets to play George's friend in the film, who is not an outlaw or a criminal or mentally unstable. And I guess, was this a welcome change of pace for him to play like a healthy, functioning human adult person?
Well, hang on. I would say, but initially he was, they both shared actually what is a serious illness, addiction.
Yes.
They were both really out of control with the alcohol. So I think there was an element to Peanut that was, you know, that they shared and they were enabling each other for a long time. And it was actually then he found God and went a different route. And so that was quite a turning point for him as a character. But I totally agree. He's like just such a superb actor. And I also miss those people like him on screen that are just pure character, like and the way, you know, what we often forget, but the golden years of Hollywood, the biggest stars in the world were like that. They were just pure character, and it's just a joy to see that. And I think he's a big music lover. He loved this world. You know, I had only wished that there was more space given to all these, you know, different characters surrounding that were so close to George and Tammy as well, that shaped, were integral to how they shaped each other's lives.
I adore Goggins, but another collaborator on this project was Georgette Jones, the one and only child of George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And I guess, how did you as a storyteller sort of negotiate and balance the lives of her parents as they were known publicly versus the way she might have known them as a child? Because I think children know their parents differently than the world knows those people always.
Well, we were extra blessed with Georgette in the sense that she had arrived at a deep understanding of the illness of addiction, and she realized it was very important to actually face those hard, you know, ugly aspects to these two iconic stars, you know, that it was very difficult for her to have not just one iconic. I mean, we know of children where there's a father or a mother that is this iconic legend and they're in the shadow of, but she had it from both sides. She also had the incredible tumultuous fireworks go on throughout her life. So she really grew to a real understanding and appreciation of that struggle and what that struggle meant to, you know, to be authentic to it and to not cover up and band-aid. So she was very respectful of, you know, delving into those other sides, you know, which normally, you know, especially with iconic characters like that, the in-laws and spouses and family can influence and hold back a lot of critical, you know, aspects of that. So she was phenomenal. It also, like, the real Peanut was there, Charlene, and having them and Georgette around was immensely helpful for the cast, you know, let alone the whole set and storytelling. So we were very fortunate.
I'm going to jump into a bit of a spoiler here for those who haven't watched the entire series, but I want to talk about what I think is the most powerful scene in your story. It's in the final episode. You have George and Tammy at the end of their careers and long after the end of their doomed romance performing with each other on stage. And every time George looks at Tammy, you abruptly cut to footage of her when she was young and they were still together and in love. It was so emotional and it made me cry. I started to weep a little bit, but I guess where did the idea come to stage that sequence in that way?
Well, the whole challenge of this show was like the number of music tracks and how to, you know, how to track those and how to make them each have their own identity and their own emotional meaning in terms of where the characters were at and that emotional journey. So in this case, we knew that, you know, the part of the tragic of this love story was that finally when George got his act together, Tammy was so lost in opioid addiction and also being manipulated by a very insidious force by George Ritchie, the great Steve Zahn, who played by the great Steve Zahn. So she was, it was the frustration of George losing Tammy, because he always fought to win her back at whatever stage he was at, whether he was blind drunk and on his knees begging, he would always come back to her and he never gave up. Because of that space and time, we, you know, it was scripted and we always discussed the idea of this turning point when they reunite. And of course for George, now that he is sober, now that he has got his life together, semi-together, in comparison to where she is so tragically lost, that it's those memories, you know, that haunt him the most. And so much of, I mean, we are made of our own memories. And interestingly enough, also our memories are morph and are affected by other people and are also, you know, either heightened or romanticized or fictionalized even. So memory is a very interesting aspect. And so many country songs are about her, the memory, his memory or her memory. Because it's a sense of loss, right? The memories are in the past. You'll never get them back. And that's all he's trying to do. So it's innately part of the great country songs as well.
I wanted to end by talking about a potential future project, which most likely will not be a musical. Multiple sources have reported that you were attached to adapt the Cormac McCarthy novel Blood Meridian, which sort of stands out as one of the great unmade movies of all time and something other filmmakers have attempted to produce in the past. And I guess what inspired you to take a run at the story after so many people have tapped out, and was it masochism?
Definitely a part of that. There's definitely an obsessive part where I had tried to even get the rights to the book way back before making the proposition. And they were, I think, at that point with Ridley Scott and who was I to try to get a hold of this stuff. But the book always struck a chord to me. There's something about the frontier. All frontiers are so bloody and messy, and I have always, it's that struggle of the frontier that has always interested me about history. And I've only found recent, so two things remarkably happened, is that Cormac, it drove me to make the proposition. I looked in my own backyard. So I thought, well, if I can't do a story about America's frontier and its primal sort of struggle in a very sort of unsentimental, unflinching way, I wanted to then look at Australia's history and Australia's frontier. And Australia actually started the first Western, was the first feature film, was the true story of the Kelly Gang, which was a Western. I then weirdly found out, so Cormac saw the proposition and really struck a chord with him, which led me to The Road. So he gave me The Road before it was even published. Wow. And then he's become a dear, dear close friend. And over the years we discussed, he had lost control of Blood Meridian, and it was our mutual task to get it back because he knew how to crack it. A lot of people have tried, and without his input, I wouldn't, you know, it was really having the space to discuss it over a decade or more. Actually, I think it's 15 years we've been discussing it. That allowed it to come forth, and I wouldn't let go. And the last strange thing about this is I've only recently found that my own heritage, my own family, there's a story of the Hillcoats. There's a bunch of Hillcoats in Texas that crossed over into Mexico, similar period, similar setting, were involved in shootouts. They were actually massacred. There was kidnappings and altercations with very famous bandits. And so I didn't even realize my ancestors share this incredible history, which I had discovered making the proposition in Australia, but I never connected. So in a way, long story short, in a weird way, I'm channeling my ancestors here. And also to honor Cormac, who is so brilliant, because as you can see, his writing is so cinematic. And yes, you'll never poetry, you know, as he said with The Road, a book is a book and a film is a film. He understands they're two different mediums, but you know, the best you can do is capture the spirit of each.
Are you saying that he'll be a very active collaborator in this project?
Yes. Yeah. He started an adaptation himself. We've talked about, you know, how to crack it, really, because it is a very ambitious book to crack, as you can imagine. So he's also a producer. His son John, who Cormac wrote The Road for, and their conversations, the two of them, I've watched them grow up, him grow up, and there's a very special relationship. He's in this phenomenal kid, and so he and Cormac are producers to help honor and protect this creative venture.
Well,
very ambitious.
It's very ambitious, and I wish you the best of luck on getting this made. All six episodes of Tammy and George are now available to watch on Showtime, Paramount Plus, and other streaming and VOD services. John, I just want to thank you again for talking with me and for crafting this beautiful story here in my home state of North Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you.